This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN. This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
Final score in Game 3. Knicks fall in Miami, 105-86. The Heat with a 2-1 series lead.
Can I be honest with you right now? I'm scared.
I'm concerned.
I'm scared.
I'm not going to sit and watch a lousy game when my team doesn't bring it.
Knicks did not lead in Game 3. Heat took a 22-point lead and never looked back. Game 4, massive and pivotal for the Knicks Monday here in South Florida.
It's not a must-win because your season's not over, but this is pretty damn close.
Are you going to win 3 games in a row?
I would say probably not.
This is as close to a must-win as you will have in this series.
This is DiPietro and Rothenberg on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, the big 7 o'clock hour. A debut of a new segment that was just thrust upon us. I know nothing about it. 7:45 this morning. What do we call this thing, Rick? Getting to know you?
Yeah, I think it's going to start as that, and then we figure out, maybe that sticks, I don't know. If anyone knows about thrusting, though, it would be John Winthrop, so.
That's true.
I'm not shocked.
And where did this come from? RJ, all of a sudden, I'm reading the premature look ahead yesterday morning, and I see 7:45, getting to know you.
Divorce. When did that? At any moment. Divorce!
Can I ask you something?
Yeah.
So this has come up a couple of times, emails, even on in pre-show meetings. Of which you are part of, and this is the first time you claim to have heard about it.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard it in passing. I didn't realize it was on the verge of making its show debut.
Well,
Yeah, this is like saying, hey, guys, I'm pregnant, and all of a sudden, 2 days later, the baby popped out.
Well, listen, around the league, usually...
Don't blame me!
Well, no, I'm not blaming you. What I am blaming you for is claiming that's the first time you've heard it.
No, I've heard it. It's like I heard that people are going to outer space as well, but I didn't realize that we were going to be going to outer space today on the show.
Well, here's the thing. For quite some time, it's been brought up in passing, as you would say, that around the league, which has lived there, been nurtured there for some
time. I just want it to be understood. I like around the league. I'm a fan of around the league. I like going around the league. I like learning about the league. I like around the league.
So listen, We're kind of entering that. There's never a downtime for the NFL, but we'll still talk about the NFL. But if there ever were a time to, you know, explore some other things for literally just a couple of months, this would be that time.
So this is freshman year of college is what you're saying?
Yeah, we're exploring.
Okay.
Some explore more than others, and we'll see how much you two explore at 7:45.
I'll tell you what, if the pre-show question is what we're going to get live on air, you're going to get very little from me.
Divorce!
I thought you were an honest broker.
Well, yeah, but I'm not an idiot.
Yeah, okay.
He'll shut down. You know, my favorite part of the whole new premature look aheads is, I don't know if Dave notices because he doesn't read the entire thing.
I looked at yesterday's. I read it all the way down to the nubs, to the bottom.
I know what you're going to say.
Yeah, you take shots at the end because you know Dave won't read the whole thing.
I pick like once a week, and at the very bottom, I just start to take veiled shots to Dave because I know he's not reading.
No, I know what it is. It's that I'm an island on the show. It's the same thing every day. Listen, I understand my place and my worth. I'm the fruit guy. I'm the crazy man. I'm the honesty broker. And I'm the one that allows the three of you to bond over my whatever you want to call it.
Listen, I don't expect everyone to read them. It's much an exercise for me to stay up to date.
And let's be fair. I mean, sometimes the thing is, it's like War and Peace. It's like, oh, my, 9 paragraphs of this drivel? Goodbye! Goodbye! Listen, I mean, who has that kind of time?
Not you, apparently, but I just know by the end, I'm probably talking to Rick and Ray.
I'm the everyman.
I'm really just talking to two people by the end.
I was born here.
Stop.
I was breastfed here.
And that's okay.
Whatever.
I'm on IMDb. Okay, bye-bye.
This portion of the show, driven by the All-American Ford Auto Group, number one volume Ford group in the Northeast. Huge locations in Paramus, Hackensack, Old Bridge, and Point Pleasant. Shop allamericanford.net. That's allamericanford.net. We will, I mean, moments away, nanoseconds away, get to the baseball. But before we get there, let's go to Angel on the highway, right there on the highway. You're on 98.7 ESPN, Angel.
Hey, good morning. morning, guys. Man, Dave, I called last week, and you are absolutely right. The moment is too big for the young guys. You know, I think Tibbs is not using the bench as well as he did throughout the season, and we're not getting the production. You know, if we don't score over 110 points, we're not going to win.
Yeah, who on the bench, though? Okay, but who on the bench? Explain to me who on the bench that he's not using right. It needs to be used more.
Like the rotation, I mean, throughout the season, he was using McBride. You know, he'll put in McBride 12 minutes.
No.
He'll give us a
defense. No, he wouldn't. He was barely using McBride. No. The team, the entire season, the entire season changed when he went with the 9-man rotation.
Yeah, well, McBride will play, you know, he'll play at least 7 to 10 minutes per game throughout the season. You know, Fournier and Rose were a different story, but, you know, he's not, I don't think he's using the bench like he was.
So you think Deuce McBride?
Using him.
So you think Deuce McBride is the answer? So if Deuce McBride plays tonight, Knicks win game 4.
No, not.
You don't think it has anything to do with, it has nothing to do with the fact that Quickley's not the same player, Grimes hasn't been the same player, like they can't even start Grimes now. Which takes 100%. Josh Hart off your bench.
The bench is not playing to the way they were playing.
Okay, so it's not. I mean, it's so blame Tibbs for that? So it's Tibbs' fault that Quinn Grimes and Quickley aren't the same players now?
I'll tell you what is Tibbs' fault, and thanks for the call, Angel. It looks like that Eric Spoelstra, I'm sorry, is the better coach right now.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that, but I think, I mean, a lot of that has to do with the execution of the players, too.
And you know what? You see, you're talking about Deuce McBride. How about your best players act like your best players?
Thank you.
I mean, for
Thank
God's
you.
Sakes, how about Julius Randle goes out there and gives you a good game? R.J. Barrett goes out there and doesn't give you a minus 32, or Jalen Brunson goes out there and makes threes.
Yeah, I mean, your bench scoring looks a little different, too, if Josh Hart's not starting now, too. I mean, if his 15 points is now off the bench. Julius Randle did not have a good game.
He was terrible.
Him and Jalen Brunson are clearly compromised. IQ is now hurt, hasn't been the same player. Quentin Grimes is now out of the starting five. Mitchell Robinson didn't have a good game, foul trouble. I mean, this is like when push comes to shove, your guys got to go out and play. They got to go out and execute. Especially your best players have to be your best players in the playoffs.
Especially now. Especially tonight. Backs to the wall. Let's see what you are. You know what? All year long, you've been a resilient bunch. Now's maybe your last chance to prove it. Go out there and prove it to me. I'm telling you, Knicks go out there tonight and lose the game 103-99 because Jimmy Butler just takes over in the big moments, but the Knicks show up. I honestly, Rick, I'll be disappointed. It'll be a tough morning for me tomorrow. I can deal with that. If the Knicks go out there tonight and I see a repeat performance of game 3, I'm going to be an animal tomorrow morning.
I would expect that, and I would expect Knicks fans to be animals tomorrow if that happens. But that's not what I think is going to happen. I think there's too much pride in that locker room.
You better be right.
I think they show up and they play hard and they understand what's at stake tonight.
Let's turn our attention to the positivity of New York baseball for a couple moments. I mean, where do we start? With the Mets who can't get out of their own way, or with the last place Yankees? I'll tell you what. Now, yesterday is as bad a loss as you could possibly have if you're the Yankees. At least they fight.
Yeah, the Yankees fought. I mean, it's just one of those ones. I mean, yesterday was one of those ones you point to and you just say to yourself, like, I mean, as good as they've been and as good as Gerrit Cole has been, I mean, were they 7-0 when Gerrit Cole starts? I mean, 6-0 lead, Gerrit Cole on the mound, chance to win a series against the best team in baseball, and oof, you choked it away.
Awful. I mean, there's not, and I know you're going to hear, well, Bader's playing well. And
he is.
And you fought back, and Cole's been so good. There's nothing positive about that yesterday. That a 6-0 lead, and we've talked about this, and we've given a lot of credit with the best pitcher in baseball on the mound, a 6-0 lead, and you blow the game, that is inexcusable.
You know what, though? I mean, it almost, I'm not going to say it's the same, because, I mean, what we're talking about with the Knicks is a lot of effort stuff, but, like, you need to understand when things aren't going well, and for right now, for both New York teams, things aren't going as planned, but you mentioned it. I mean, you're fighting, which is great. Bader's playing really good baseball. You got Gerrit Cole on the mound, chance to win this series. You're up 6-0. You can't afford, especially against a team like Tampa, you can't afford to make mistakes. Like there are certain things that you need to make sure you're taking care of your business, like controllable things that have to have to be plays that are made. Like, you can't afford to make mistakes against Tampa. It's just not, it's a recipe to lose.
And Tampa, and I know you were watching the game at some points yesterday, probably in and out. You know, they were talking about in the broadcast, Tampa was literally on the verge of throwing the white towel. Like, it was 6-0, and they were going to say, you know what, you guys won this game, and start to throw in, you know, lesser guys out of the bullpen and say, you've already won the game. And the Yankees and Cole, and I can't believe it because he's been so good all season long. In that moment, all he had to do was get out of that fifth inning, and you're probably going to win that game, and he couldn't do it.
No, he couldn't do it. He didn't have his best stuff. And, I mean, it's the first couple home runs he's given up. Yeah, I do. I don't know. I mean, that is a tough, tough loss yesterday. Give him credit. I mean, they fought hard, but still, that's a tough one.
You couldn't have scripted a worse loss. I mean, a 6-0 lead. Losing that game yesterday, you didn't love your chances heading into the series, right? You lose on Friday. You had a great comeback win on Saturday. If I would have told you heading into the series, you're competitive and you win one and lose two, I know it's a crazy sounding thing to say, but the way you're banked up right now, I think most Yankee fans would have been okay with that. But to win Saturday and to have that lead yesterday and to let that get away is not the script you'd sign up for. This is that's a painful, painful loss.
It's a painful loss. And I think we actually asked RJ and Santi on Friday, would you sign up for one and two? And they both, I know RJ definitely said yes.
Well, you have to.
But you're right, though. I mean, you're right. It's easy to say stuff like that in the moment when the series hasn't started yet. And then you watch how it unfolds. And then you get into yesterday with your ace in the mound, who's been awesome. And you have a 6-0 lead. I mean, you even fight back to tie it up. You're down 7-6. You fight back to tie it up.
Right.
And then losing extras. Yeah, that's a tough one to swallow. But, I mean, on the same token, though, I mean, as a Yankees fan as opposed to a Mets fan, like, at least with the Yankees, you can point to player, like, your best player's not playing. Giancarlo Stanton's not playing. Like, there's things you can point to say to yourself, okay, we just went toe-to-toe with the best team in baseball. You know, it sucks how we lost yesterday, but we fought. We feel like we were right there to win the series, and this is without Judge. It's without Stanton. Like, we're not whole. Without Rodon, like, we're not whole yet. At least there's that optimism. With the Mets, this is the lineup. This is their lineup.
Right. You're not waiting for reinforcements to come in. You're not trying to tread water to say. And not only that, you're look at who you're losing. I mean, you're getting beaten up by Detroit. You can't really hang with Washington. You're getting smoked at home against Colorado. Rick, this is the softest part of the schedule, and you can't even keep yourself in these games.
No, because again, I mean, what made this team special last season was, I mean, a lot of it was, obviously their starting pitching was supposed to be the strength of their team, but when you start looking like offensively what they did last season, right? I mean, fifth in runs, second in batting average, second in on-base percentage. This year, I mean, you got Marte hasn't been good for them this year. Lindor hasn't been really, I know Lindor's got the, you know, 25 RBI, but he hasn't been good for them.
Alonso, who was so good, has really cooled off.
And you're not a team that hits a bunch of home runs. I mean, the home run threat is Pete.
That's it. I mean, I got to, if you feel like this, every time I watch Vogelbach step to the plate, I just become like almost ill.
I feel like Vogelbach has taken that he is your baseball Julius Randle right now. Like, it doesn't matter what he does, he still frustrates you.
For me personally, right?
Yeah.
I think that's fair. But you know what the thing that's frustrating also is? Like, I feel like Beatty and Alvarez are starting to kind of come into their own a little bit.
I agree with that. I think Beatty,
and yet it's still so unwatchable.
Well, yeah, but I mean it's unwatchable because I mean there's things that aren't like that you expected to be a strength that haven't been a strength for a bunch of different reasons. I mean, like Max with the suspension and everything else, but I mean Verlander's had the one start. I mean the guy Luque, you got no Quintana, you got no Carrasco.
Well, I mean things are so dire that you're taking Lucchese out against Detroit early,
right,
so you can use him on 3 days rest.
Right. You spent all this money, and the thought process was, well, we have no one to start on Sunday, so let's take Joey Lucchese out.
Right.
To start him on short rest on Sunday.
Who, up until about 10 days ago, hadn't started a game in 600 and something days or something.
That's right.
I mean, really, it really is. It's remarkable the way we are sitting here with the baseball. So there you have it. Yankees, great win on Saturday. It looks like we're going to be waxing poetic about a great weekend series against the Rays. and it you throw it up yesterday, and the Mets just the entire weekend, even the win, a 1-0 win against Colorado on Friday. Not a lot of positivity with New York baseball.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
What do I even have now? Mets, awful. Not that I like the Yankees, but they seem awful. Rangers, coach gone. Knicks, don't even show up for the most important game of the season. Thank God for the show. I don't have a lot going on at all.
You have me.
That's really it.
But that's enough. You got Cherry. You got your kids. That's fine. You got your Giants. You got Joe Shane.
I know, but that's months away. And you see what Peter King put out an article last night?
What did Peter King say?
He said that the NFL schedule might not come out this Thursday.
Why?
There's still work. There's such big games that they have to really work them all through to make sure they get the right games in the right spots.
Well, that's exciting. At least that there's so many good games.
I know, but I need it on Thursday. I can't wait. I need it on Thursday.
Well, maybe we have some new segment on Thursday we can just sprinkle in.
Yeah.
Like,
RJ, what else are you guys working on back there?
Not a single thing.
This was it.
Yep. It's all
getting to know you. So if getting to know you stinks, is it fair to say you guys are just not all that creative?
I'd probably say we'll just go back to around the league. Yeah.
You think there's a chance getting to know you stinks?
Chance?
Mm-hmm.
Suppose, yeah.
But small, diminutive chance.
Small chance, yeah. But chance. I never know with you. You could quit at any moment. So.
I'm not going to quit. I'm going to bring my A game.
We'll see.
He left.
That was right, yeah.
Yeah, I know. He laughed. Yeah, because I'm a joke to him.
Joke?
No, you saying you're not going to quit is a joke to everybody.
I'm
not
going to quit.
CMT once a week.
Well, CMT sometimes can be bad. When things are done well, then I'm all in.
You
fully
quit
ensconced.
You quit like 80% of the time.
And that's not true. Did I quit today?
No, it's all about during CMT.
No, not 80%.
Listen,
it's a high percentage.
If we learned anything from last week, not learned, confirmed. Ray, not the biggest fan of you.
No, I think that's fair.
Big fan of Jessica Alba, though.
Huge fan of Jessica Alba.
Aren't we all, though?
Most men are, yes.
Sauce doesn't even know who she is.
Sauce doesn't know who she is, but he doesn't count.
He doesn't count.
Whoa.
Do you look down on Sauce because he doesn't know?
No, not at all. Sauce was born at a certain time, you know, when Jessica Alba wasn't in the spotlight as much. I know you said she was, 13 on that list from 10 years ago? I don't think Sauce would have paid attention to that, but, you know, he's forgiven.
I think there are certain people in the world that you should know who they are.
But she's been out of the spotlight for a long time.
You say out of the spotlight. She's still world famous.
By the way, I was at Target over the weekend. She has some lovely baby products.
Oh, does she?
This is honest. This is why she's a billionaire.
She's a billionaire, RJ.
There's some great products out there.
Did you buy any of them?
I perused.
Did you get a nipple balm?
Oh, dear.
Not yet.
Well, you're going to need it.
Not yet.
RJ will need nipple balm?
I hope
he
not.
Won't.
Yeah, I think something has gone really wrong if that happened.
Ange, I'm rubbing it all over myself and nothing's happening.
Listen, I going through this for the first time, I will say you find yourself shopping for things you just really never even noticed before.
Do you feel like your life, not that it's a bad thing because it's great and when you have this baby you're going to be so happy, but do you ever think to yourself, how did I get here?
The change is immeasurable already. I can feel it, yeah.
And he is, I mean, it is right around the corner.
Yeah, 8 weeks, a little under.
How'd the appointment go last week?
Oh, dandy. Everything's where it needs
Everything
to be.
Everything is good?
Everything's where it needs to be. You know, it's like we're in like the we're in like the late training camp phase now. We're buckling down the roster, getting everything all T's crossed.
When's the schedule get released?
Yeah. You know, I don't know. We're still working on some big games. So
it's understood. All right. Here's Aaron Boone, who's got to be in a great way after the game yesterday, on blowing a 6-0 lead with their ace on the mound.
Yeah, tough one, obviously. Part of it, we're gonna have great come from behind wins when you don't see it, and you're gonna have these over the course of the year. We crawled our way right back into it. Obviously put together a really big inning. Credit to them. And difficult, but you know, we start a big homestand tomorrow and we gotta move on from it.
I will sit here and tell you this, Rick. It can't be 2-1 against Oakland. You need to sweep this team.
Yeah, that's what it feels like. I mean, you even had Aaron Hicks get an extra base hit yesterday that you wasted.
Right? How about though? What's the one play which just drove me insane though?
Aaron Hicks contact play.
Mm-mm.
Who?
One play defensively.
Oh, there was a couple defensive plays. The Jimmy Cordero play.
The one where they threw to first, and I think it was Siri came around to score.
Yeah, that was Jimmy.
What are you kidding me?
That's definitely a lack of awareness. I'm talking about. That's what I made the point earlier. Like, that stuff can't happen. That's controllable stuff that just you can't afford to have it happen. When your team is struggling, you can't afford to make mistakes like that.
All that takes is a glance to third base. That's it. You get the ball, you had tons of time, you glance to third, now you stop him, his momentum, you throw to first, and maybe you get out of that inning. Like, those are the things. That's the difference between winning and losing baseball games.
It's sports in general, though. I mean, it's just like if you're struggling, you can't afford, like, those are controllable things that every coach will talk to you about. I'm sure Tibbs is having the same conversations with the Knicks. Those are like when you're struggling or things aren't going your way, you have to make sure of take care of things that you can control. And that's a routine play that needs to be made. Take a peek, make sure he's, and then go about your business. You can't afford to make mistakes like that.
Especially when you're playing the way you're playing right now.
Against
that team. And by the way, for the amount of money put into a franchise, is there a better team in all of sports than the Tampa Bay Rays?
No.
I mean, the fact that they get so much out of what they have.
Look what they're doing
remarkable.
This season, though. Dude, they've hit 71 home runs already this season. Like, you want to talk about being like that. That's what I never understood about the whole, like, Brian Cashman being obsessed with being as smart as Tampa. You don't have to be. Tampa has to be. This is the hand that they were dealt, and they're getting the best out of it because they're really good at what they do.
But how? How are they so good at doing this? They don't spend any money, and they turn rocks up, and they're like, oh, we'll take that guy, Zach Eflin, come on over. I mean, how do they do this? I know they have to do it, but how? How can they do it, and no other team in baseball can do this?
I think you can ask that question about, I mean, how does Houston do what they do with their pitchers? Like, there are certain teams that are just really good at what they do. Like, the Rangers are great at drafting and developing goalies. Like, they have an idea of what they want to do. I mean, their analytics department is maybe the best in baseball. They draft well. They develop well. And the only problem with them is that when the time comes to pay a lot of these guys, which may actually be a good thing for them if you think about it.
Because then they get out from under before it gets too late.
Right. They don't get stuck in bad deals.
Right. So they don't have Stanton deals.
Yeah. I can't even... It's not even that one, because I didn't like that one at the time. The whole Josh Donaldson thing
My God.
I don't understand it.
Yeah, and you never will. Here is Booney. What went wrong with Gerrit Cole after the Yankees had that lead?
Yeah, I think he just made some mistakes with some secondary pitches. I think they just took advantage of mistakes and turned it into slugs. So, you know, I thought overall before that, I thought he threw the ball pretty well. I thought he did a nice job of mixing, using his changeup today, but mixing his pitches. So he was kind of unpredictable, but then they were able to capitalize on a few mistakes.
More than a few. I mean, they bludgeoned him. Here's Gerrit Cole on not being able to hold that seemingly comfortable lead.
Yeah, it feels awful. Got to find a way to do a better job to get us out of there and get us a little bit deeper and prevent the runs. But the lack of command really burned us, and balls over the plate were touched.
Lastly, from Gerrit Cole, what went wrong in that game?
But I know I didn't have great leverage in those counts. I wasn't really dictating, and I needed to throw strikes in those situations, and I didn't throw quality strikes.
You know, it's funny watching the game thinking of you yesterday, because remember we had that whole discussion last week. You're like, he doesn't allow home runs anymore. You know, he's kind of, and not that it's your fault, but that's what you said. And then yesterday, biggest spots, home runs.
Yep. Well, there was some question before that Bethancourt home run too, whether or not they would keep him. They would keep him in, but he's your ace.
And that was
been awesome.
That was a bomb, that shot.
To go back too, I mean, this is the problem with the weekend is we have all this time and all these games that happen. But even on Friday, the play that Bauer didn't make in left field, like that stuff that just you can't have that happen. I mean, that stuff.
But that's
can't
the difference right now between the Yankees and the Rays. The Rays are kind of that buttoned up team that makes the plays, and the Yankees at the moment are not.
Well, not to mention the fact that the Rays are absolutely smashing baseballs right now.
I will say this though, watching the weekend, I feel worse about the Mets than I do the Yankees.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We said it. We said it last week. At least the Yankees can hang their hats on the fact that they haven't seen Rodon yet. Severino's coming back. You got no Judge. You got no Stanton. As much as you don't want to see Donaldson, I mean, at least he's a professional bat in your lineup.
I mean, if you're a Mets fan, what are you hanging your hat on right now?
Mark Vientos and Ronnie Mauricio.
Okay.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do. You want me to tell you what I'm going to do?
What are you going to do?
I'll tell you after the break.
Oh!
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why?
Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
You know what's crazy? I never thought, once I was done playing, and I know I still do the men's league hockey and baseball and everything else, so I get myself all ramped up and tearing groins, and whenever we lose, I get really upset. And this started, I think, when I worked with you and for the first time, and I realized what a psychotic fan you were.
Right.
And my first thought wasn't that you were crazy. My first thought was how a loss or a win affected you and how similar that was to how a loss or a win affected me as a player.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I actually gained respect for you from that.
Oh, I'll take that. That's very
this
nice.
This was early on. But now I find myself watching these games thinking to myself, like, you played. Like, this should not have the kind of effect it's having on you right now. And I'm like, you know what it is? I've been hanging around Dave too long that now I'm a psychotic fan and I can't help myself.
It's no way to live. It's not. It's no way to go through life that your entire... And my wife says this all the time. She's like, do you realize that your moods are based on how other people perform at their jobs?
It's wild. Like, yeah, I mean, I'm talking... Saturday was supposed... I mean, it was this beautiful day. It was the communion. And Milo looked... I mean, he looked handsome. We had a great party. And that game happens. I watch it. And my wife at one point is like, what's wrong with you? I was like, did you just see what happened to the Knicks? She's like, yeah, but this is a beautiful day. I'm like, yeah, all that stuff is fine. The Knicks just got embarrassed. I don't understand what's happening right now.
You're me.
Yes, I'm morphing into you.
Yeah, I'm sorry for that. For you and for your whole family. That is not the direction you want to trend in. In less than 1 month, my friend, Thursday, June 1, you can hang with us all day long. We'll start our day broadcasting live from Publicans in Manhasset, 6 to 10 in the morning. Then we swing on over to Citi Field, the parking lot, for a tailgate starting at 11 o'clock, all leading into the 1 o'clock game against the Philadelphia Phillies. Spend the day with us on Thursday, June 1, starting at Publicans in Manhasset, then over to Citi Field for the DiPietro and Rothenberg tailgate with all sorts of giveaways and goodies, prizes. We're headed to the game and sitting in section 128. So get your tickets and hang with us all day long, courtesy of 98.7 ESPN. We're 7 minutes away from the brand new, what's it called, RJ? Get to know me?
Getting to know you.
Get me?
It's just a rhetorical you, yes.
Like, or everyone plays? Or
you,
just we play?
You and Rick play.
Rick and I play. Now, yeah. Is there a home version you could play at home?
It's possible, yeah. I mean, it hasn't hit shelves yet, but yeah, maybe.
Who created these questions?
It's a collaboration of us and Jonathan Winthrop.
Now, if this stinks, do we blame Winthrop?
Mm. Yes. Stinks?
Yes.
Mm. I don't think it'll stink.
Like, Mickey style.
In the event you don't like it.
Well, Winthrop.
Blame him, no, but you know we can have a discussion.
Okay.
I'm blaming him. I'm just letting everyone know I'm blaming him if this stinks.
Rick, you had a tease of the ages.
I did have a little tease, didn't I?
What? Yeah, pay it off now. What's the new found way that you get involved with the Mets? Go, give us all the.
All right,
I made
this decision yesterday. It just came over me. I don't know what it was. It was probably disgust. I mean, you had mentioned it earlier. I mean, the game they won is a 1-0 win. I've decided now. Selective amnesia I'm going to pretend like the season hasn't even started yet, and we'll start on Tuesday.
Now, does that just continue every day?
No, it's a no. Now the season has started on Tuesday.
Okay, so the season starts. So they lose Tuesday. They've lost their home opener.
Right. And you want to know why? Because now we got Scherzer, Verlander, and Senga. Boom, boom, boom.
Okay. So because you look at this team and say to yourself they're a healthier version of themselves and they go to Cincinnati, now you're in.
Now I'm in.
All right. So a bad week this week, and now the Mets have had a bad start to the season.
Right. And I'm incensed.
Okay. All right. Listen, I think that's fair.
I got my three guys at the top of the rotation that I thought would be my three guys at the top of the rotation for the first time now. So let's go. Let's go.
Oh, gloves are off now.
Gloves are off now. Let's figure this thing out because this is gross.
It really. I mean, what a disgusting weekend. Even the, and I don't know if you felt like this. You probably did. Even the win. It's like it's takes such effort to cobble together a win at home against the Colorado Rockies.
It was a 1-0 win, man. I mean, and then you finally score runs yesterday, and it was, I mean, you gave up 13. I mean, what are we talking about?
To a team, that, I mean, Colorado stinks.
13-6.
And you had a 3-1 lead.
Oh, yeah.
Right off the bat, 3-1 lead. And then, who started for Colorado yesterday? Randy Feltner?
Jimmy Iacobonis came in and...
How bad was he?
It was not good.
No. That was a disgrace, is what it was. But here we are. But the season starts tomorrow, 6:40 in Cincinnati.
Yep, that's it. Home opener. That's here we go.
Home opener in Cincinnati, huh?
Yep, Cincinnati's home opener in Cincy.
They usually start like that 11:40 game in the morning on opening day for Cincinnati. So Mets Reds tomorrow night. Scherzer back on the mound, and that's going to be a whole different ball of wax there.
It is a big start for Max.
It's a huge start for Max. If Scherzer's bad tomorrow on the road in Cincinnati, I think you have to have real conversation of, is this guy on the verge of being done?
If Scherzer's bad in Cincinnati,
yeah,
I may have a nervous breakdown live on the radio.
I think that'd be good for ratings.
Probably. Not great for my health, but I mean...
No, I think it'd be bad for your health. But like, at what point do we do something? Like, you start... to like have a nervous breakdown. RJ, would we call someone? What do we do? How many get involved in that?
No, I think we just enjoy it. We just kind of take it in.
Just enjoy someone's live on-air nervous breakdown.
Yeah, I mean, but could you blame him if that actually happened? Like if Scherzer goes out and he's terrible in Cincinnati, Cincinnati's 14-20. They stink.
Yeah, okay. Who has a nervous breakdown first? Rick or you? Yankees go out tonight. J.P. Sears mows you down. You lose it at home to Oakland.
See,
or the Mets go out there tomorrow night. Scherzer gets bombed. They lose to Cincinnati.
Rick is closer. Yes.
Is this because just ordinarily you're a more stable soul than he is?
Listen, until we get to, I'd say, June, I do give the Yankees. They needed to win one game. As stupid as that sounds, they needed to win one game this weekend. They should have won two. Could have won all of them, I guess. Could have lost all of them as well. But to find a way to win one, I think right now, with the way your team is built, that Rick said earlier, like your lineup is your lineup, and your pitchers are back, and now it's opening day again in Cincinnati. So if you reset it and opening day's not good, Buck deserves a little bit of leeway, though. What, this is the second time they've ever been under 500. Under Buck, right? Earlier this year and just now. So,
at what point do you think, and I don't think we're far off here, we'll get to the calls in a moment. We have the brand new getting to know me, apparently.
It's getting to know you.
Me, getting you, whoever.
You think it's all about you.
Does this have an open?
It does.
Oh,
is it good?
I don't, well, you might make fun of it.
What was the one that was awful?
I'm in the midst of questioning.
We got bored.
All right, fine. Go ahead, Rick.
What was the open that was terrible? Remember that open?
Yeah, that was something I made.
What was that segment? Name a name.
I forget. It was not good, though. I agree with you.
That was the worst one ever.
It was bad.
Can't even remember what it was.
At what point do we start to get angrier at Billy Epler?
I'm already angry at Billy Epler. I'm angry about last year's deadline.
I mean, look at what he's done. How can you argue that Billy Epler is good at his job?
I don't think you can argue that Billy Epler is good at his job. unless all of a sudden Max Scherzer figures it out and Verlander pitches like we know he's capable of pitching.
But even if Verlander is good and Scherzer is good, does Billy Epler get a ton of credit for that?
Oh, he
went
him.
Out and spent more money than anybody else would on old pitchers?
Yeah. I guess. I mean, what else would you give a GM credit for? I mean, he signed them. He's not writing the checks, but he signed them.
But where are these, like, you know, below the radar kind of signings for the Mets?
Why, you don't like Daniel Vogelbach?
No, I don't like Vogelbach. I didn't like Naquin. I don't. I don't like any of these guys. Like, I would question, what is the move that Billy Epler has made that you look at and you say, you know what, that was a move. That was a trade. That was a move. When does that happen?
Well, I don't think it's happened. I mean, all he did was, I mean, the moves that he made was just running this thing back. Was signing Nimmo, signing McNeil, bringing in Verlander, Senga, Quintana. I mean, those are the moves.
Great.
How many times do we have to say it? It's the same team. I mean, this is what RJ was saying. This is the lineup. Unless all of a sudden they decide they want to call it Mauricio or Vientos, this is it.
So isn't that the equivalent of like taking your head and ramming it into the wall looking for a different result? You brought the same team back. You weren't good enough to win last year, and you probably did as well as you possibly could have done, and let's just bring the exact same team back and expect a different result?
I wonder if this is the hope, and tell me if I'm crazy. Okay? I mean, with how baseball is set up now with the extra wildcard team and everything else, is that this team is, and I think we've said this a bunch of different times though, is built or supposed to be built for the playoffs. We'll make our way through the regular season, we'll be a playoff team, and then how we're put together with the, you know, with Scherzer, with Verlander, like the high end, I think we did this whole thing last year too. And then a lineup that doesn't strike out, gets on base.
Right.
Because it's not a lineup that hits a ton of home runs.
Well, I don't think it's an awful take, except for the fact you got that last year.
Right? Didn't work.
You were in last year. You were home last year. You had your pitching lined up exactly the way you wanted, and you got beaten up at home.
But you didn't get the. I mean, by name, yes, you had the pitching, but not by performance. Right, like Scherzer wasn't good.
Well, Scherzer might not be Scherzer anymore.
Okay, so again, that's the problem. I mean, that's a humongous problem. With the construction of the team, I mean, you put all your eggs into a 40-year-old pitcher who came off winning the Cy Young in the World Series,
right?
Who pitched a ton of innings after not pitching at all because of Tommy John, and then a guy who will be 39 in July and looks like he could be in one.
It's an old basket, is what it is.
Very old basket.
RJ, I'm just going to hand it over, and you do what it is that you in fact need to do.
Getting to know you.
Getting to know you.
On DNR.
I don't know who you are.
This is... oh, my God.
All right, so we've... If you remember, if you've been with us...
I don't like it.
That's okay. If you've been with us...
Not surprising.
For some time, which we hope you have, there was a version of this we played, the two of you, Chris Canty, and that was more so a literal getting to know you. Background info, facts, things of that nature. But this direction,
like
here,
Dave used to date a stripper.
Yeah, we did learn that, didn't we?
Yeah, well, you sure did. And I broke up with her.
Because the Giants lost the
Baltimore. Because the Giants lost the Super Bowl, yep.
That's why.
Let's go!
I've always heard that those are relationships that are
What was her stage name? I'm interested.
We met her at an event. Those are my ladies.
Is that what people call outings to the gentleman's club?
She was a stage performer. I'm not going to let you belittle her.
Born
here.
Stop.
I was breastfed here.
What was her stage name?
Candy.
I'm not even exaggerating because, you know, I tell you, I don't remember.
Cinnamon. Oh.
I don't remember. Those are my ladies.
Those were your ladies.
We once had a training camp where the guy, we had this, I don't even know if I should tell the story, but I will.
No,
anyway.
I think you have to.
Yeah.
So we had a training camp, and it was like when the island, like we were selling our training camp. Like rather than just have training camp here, people would pay us. So it would be like in Moncton or like wherever we ended up going because they would pay us to go there. And we had a golf tournament, like a charity golf tournament at training camp. And one of the groups had a guy in it who was passing on his card and said, listen, fellas, you guys go to dinner. I got this place. You guys will love it. You guys should swing by. So we all went to dinner and we're like, hey, we should take this guy up on his offer. We should swing by. So needless to say, it was a strip club. We walk in and we're like, oh my God, this place does not look great.
No.
So
did you have the salmon?
No,
we'll
the first
naked ladies.
The first performer that they introduce onto the stage, as she's walking up to the stage, her high heel snapped and she fell.
She fell?
She fell. Yeah, it was the. I almost peed my pants. I was laughing so hard.
Woohoo! Over here. Yeah. What do you think Dave's stripper name would be?
Have you done crack? Mm.
Jiggles.
Oh boy!
That's Mick Jiggles to you, yeah. Earl Ham.
So this version of getting to know you is more philosophical.
I like it.
Sometimes you'll answer about yourselves. Sometimes you'll be asked about your co-host. Sometimes I guess you could phone a friend and ask one of us.
But I have no friends.
But that's unfortunate. So it mainly reflects around where you take the question, how you interpret it, and here we go. On a scale of 1 to 10, mm-hmm. How do you think, we'll start with you, Dave, how do you think people rate you from a look standpoint?
All right, this is an interesting question, because I'm not a bad-looking guy, even though you guys give me a lot of...
You're really not.
My appearance. I would say, what would you... Let me follow that up with a question. What would you say an average looks is, like a 7?
No. Five or six.
Seven's good looking.
Seven's good?
Five or six.
Okay. You know, I think I'm a better than average looking guy. And I even think Rick, who can be very nasty to me, would agree with that. I'm going to put myself at a good solid 7.
Solid seven.
I think when I attempt to look good, I can look good. I am hot. You've seen me look good. Yeah. I'll put myself at a 7.
Wow. Yeah, I don't disagree. I'm a little doughy in the face, but I don't disagree with that. Put yourself together. Like for the K-Roast, you look nice.
Here comes Jiggles.
Welcome to the stage.
Oh, I'm joggling.
I think
you can joggle with Jiggles.
I think you though on stage would eventually be escorted out.
I just said you were the meal baby.
I think
I would put on such a show.
Yeah, but then it would eventually devolve into something about where someone went to college. You'd get in an argument.
I wanted to rub old mayonnaise on myself.
Somebody would insult the Giants.
Yeah, he'd be on Sniffer's Row, like drop down, and he'd be like asking, like having small talk as he was shaking it. I'll give myself, I'll go 7.5.
Stop it.
What do you mean?
Come on, give yourself a 9. You're a good solid 9.
Bang bang bang. 7.5.
He's just being modest.
Solid number.
If we're not going to be honest, then what do we have?
So this one will be a little more interesting.
Uh huh.
What is this? And maybe Rick's already answered this, but maybe there's more we don't know. A song you sing in the car out loud, you'd be embarrassed to admit.
Oh, I know it.
Well, there's a lot of songs that I sing in the car that I would be embarrassed. Currently.
Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry.
Any song.
I'll tell you right now, the song that currently I'm singing in the car at the top of my lungs, and I'm not even embarrassed to admit it.
Well, you have to be embarrassed. I think that's the thing.
Well, it's probably embarrassing, but I'm not that embarrassed. I rocked out to the song. It's Miley Cyrus.
Party in the USA?
Nope, not Party. Flowers. Her new one, Flowers.
Ah,
flowers. I can buy myself flowers.
You know, she has a sister.
I knew that.
Who's a performer also, and she was on American Idol last week.
The way we've used performer this morning, yeah. probably should clarify.
That was very wide open considering the conversation 5 seconds
ago. She's a singer.
Santa, give me some Flowers by Miley Cyrus so I can rock out later, okay?
You got it.
Thank you.
Mine would be, whoa, we're halfway there. No, you said embarrassing. I'm not embarrassed.
I don't see you being embarrassed about much, but.
John Winthrop, by the way, concurs. He says he has me as a 7.
Yeah, but you left out the other part.
He has Rick as a 9 and himself as an 8. All right, I will. You ever see the Broadway spectacular Les Mis?
Have I seen it live? No.
Well, do you know the music from it?
Yes.
You know, On My Own, that song On My Own?
Yes.
I love that song, and if I ever hear that song, I will just absolutely start to sing it.
I'll tell you something else, and I didn't even think of that until you just brought that up, is Lady Marmalade.
Oh, yeah.
Me and Ron Hainsey used to just rock out to that song.
Oh, love it. Broadway show tunes, I think very underrated.
I don't disagree with that.
Very good. All right, moving on. If this career did not pan out for you, or to just be unavailable, you choose something else. Today, you'd be doing what, Dave?
I'd be a professional gambler.
How do you think you'd be doing?
Not well. I'd be living in a gutter somewhere, but I think I would be a professional gambler.
I once played blackjack for 36 straight hours.
I'd be living in Atlantic City, no, probably Las Vegas, and I'd be one of those people that's like, I bet you $4 you can't eat that grilled cheese in 30 seconds or less.
King of the mole people, Dave yeah. Rothenberg.
Was there ever a time, I don't know if you can share this.
I can share it.
Where you were up such profitable, mm-hmm. such a remarkable amount of money that you would be uncomfortable telling us?
No. No, I wouldn't be uncomfortable telling you. There was a time I was up a ton of money. I one time turned $300. Do you want to know this, or am I telling you too much?
No, I think you're going to tell us one
all
city.
All we found out is that you turned 300 into, I mean, you haven't told us anything.
I turned 300. Now, this was not over a short period of time. It was an extended time. $300 into $62,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very
what,
nice.
What kind of runway are we talking about?
Is that blackjack or betting?
No. It was sports gambling.
Wow.
$300 into $62,000 and was on such a run. And it eventually, as it typically does, all came just crumbling down.
So it's safe to say your bankroll at times where you were, that's just one stretch. Your bankroll at times was well into the six figures, I would guess, at some point.
Six figures?
It sounded, if you turned no. $300 into $62,000 in a couple of weeks or months or whatever.
Well, my bankroll was never into the six figures.
Sounds like it was close.
Well, it really was not. That was the height of the game, $62,000.
Wow.
And my big loss, which made me come crumbling down, was on your stupid Jets. They played a Sunday night game in Buffalo against the Bills, and they started Rick Meyer. And I took the Jets, and I lost, and it all crumbled down from there.
It's amazing to me that you remember that exact moment when it all just fell apart.
You always remember
Rick Meyer.
Yeah.
You always remember gamblers are like athletes.
Where did he go to school, Dave?
Notre Dame.
Okay. Dave Rothenberg's bad beats.
Oh. Please. Scott Van Pelt would weep over my bad beats.
I still can't get over that he used to bet on the WNBA All-Star game.
Well, it wasn't like a common occurrence, but there was a year and I was like, wait, I don't understand. The West is so good. The East stinks.
You know,
I'm in.
There's a time where we all say, oh, I wish I'd grown up in this era, that era. Dave, if you were growing up right now, like unhinged Dave, like in your early 20s with gambling right on your phone.
No, I don't think it'd be any worse. I don't think it'd be any worse because I used to do it a lot and I would still continue to do it a lot.
But you had to really work to get your bets in. You had to have runners. You had to know
didn't
people.
He had some.
What do you mean runners?
He had a weird bookie that used to leave like cryptic messages on his voicemail.
Sure.
When you say that, RJ, what do you even mean? I used to have runners.
I'm sure you had people touching in on the books and getting your numbers. You probably had people.
I used to call. I used to have two numbers. I'd call and I would say either you'd say this is Dave for Comet, and then they'd say, all right, Dave, what are you looking for? They'd give you the full lines of what you wanted, and then you would place your action.
Are you sure when you said Dave for Comet, you weren't at the other establishment?
Comet. I share too much.
It was a two-for-one, RJ. Comet was also the bookie.
I shared too much.
That's how you end up $62,000.
He hands out coupons. win two Knicks bets. Get a free song.
Yeah, right. Two for one dance.
Where were we?
I would be a coach.
What would
to answer
be
your question, I'd
he's
be a coach.
He's going to have some awful answer.
I'd be a coach.
Oh, God.
I would want to coach something. I love it.
I feel like you're still young enough where you could still.
I mean, honestly, I think right there, this thing totally jumped the shark.
So why? You're done on the game.
Because I give you like good, honest, behind the scenes. It's like, what would you do? I'd be a coach. I mean, how boring are we really?
I wasn't asked any follow-up questions. You said I'd be a gambler, and then they asked you follow-up questions.
Because nobody wants follow-up questions. I'd be a coach. Great. What would you coach, Rick? Hockey. Oh, wow. What a thrill this is.
Maybe I would coach baseball.
Oh, even more baseball. Exciting. Would you ever employ the hit-and-run strategy?
Never.
You know who does? The Yankees. Aaron Hicks at third base.
Very good.
All analytics.
And finally, in this early endeavor. Of
this is it?
Yeah, we've been going about 10 minutes. I feel like this is... We're going to test
Dave
it.
Dave won't shut up with all his stories.
Won't shut up. What would you? I'd be a coach. Oh, what a thrill this is.
Oh, what would you? An astronaut?
Yeah, it'd be better.
Well, I'm not qualified to be an astronaut.
You're not qualified to be a coach.
Oh,
wow.
That's the nastiest.
Wow.
Did you hear Ray?
Wow.
Ray,
that's That's an awful shot. That's maybe the worst thing you've ever said to him.
All right, no, I've said much worse things.
I'm done.
Oh, okay, now you're done.
Bye-bye.
Wow.
Wow.
Sometimes there are things said on the show and we kind of, you know, you play it up a little bit. Then there's other times we go to break and it's, can you believe so-and-so?
You can't put that toothpaste back in the bottle. Oh, my God. That's
awful.
It
exploded. There's no bottle left.
That was troubling.
Sorry.
And finally, this could also be troubling. Do you feel you have a best friend at our station? If so, who is that person?
Oh, that's good. By the way, you're listening to DPHR on Rothenberg on 98.7 ESPN, WEPN-FM, New York. Best friend at the state. You know what he's going to say. He's going to say K, and he's just going to run away and hide.
You sure?
I know that's what he'll say.
I have no friend on this show, obviously.
Oh, obviously. You know who I heard from yesterday, by the way?
I don't care.
Former best friend at the station.
Who? Jeff Candelmo?
No, Ryan Rucco.
Okay, you're going to rub that in my face now, too.
I'm not going to rub anything in your face. I said former best friend at the station, Ryan Rucco. Love Ryan. We might get lunch later in the week.
I bet you don't.
Why would you gamble?
Because
on
you're all talk with your lunches up. I'm going to take Buster only for a lunch. I'm going to take Andrew Gunling for a lunch.
Gunling and I are going to lunch next week.
Yeah, right. I think we all know who my best friend is.
Station.
No, I don't want small talk with you. You hurt my feelings. I don't want small talk with you. My best friend at the station, clearly one person, is Michael K. That's it. Period. Stop.
He's so transparent. Why would you ask that question, RJ? You know what he was going to say.
I gave him a chance.
And what he weaseled right in like a turtle shell.
No, I just spiked it right in your face.
Best friend at the state. I could go with RJ.
There's one obvious answer for you. I don't know why you're like pretending.
I like Larry Hardesty very much.
Oh. When was the last time you talked to Larry Hardesty on the phone?
Phone? No, no, maybe a year.
Okay.
But it doesn't mean I don't like him a lot.
Very close.
I really think
he's
terrific. Heard Anita breaking down the Kentucky Derby on Saturday like only she can.
Did you put a couple bucks on that?
No. Not a penny. Didn't watch it. Don't care. No interest in the Derby.
Get down in the mud, Larry!
Best friend at the station. I like Ty.
You like Don.
I do like Don, but Don feels like he's turned. I know who it is. John Winthrop.
What a suck up.
That's not a suck up.
Oh, my goodness.
John Winthrop is my, he's my muse. He's my best friend. He's my confidant.
Dave needs time off, John.
Super delicious.
John,
I take
Winthrop,
my answer back.
Please.
I take my answer back. Who else? Who's the highest? I want to do what Dave did.
John Winthrop, elite. He's a friend. He's a motivator. He's a confidant. He's a segment creator. He does everything.
Rick would like to change his answer to Justin Craig.
Yes.
Look at me when I'm talking to you, John.
What a kiss ass you are.
Wow. Can't wait to find out at 10:01 what Dave needs.
John. Yeah, right. Get rid of your pants. Wear diapers.
See, you laugh, and you think this is fictitious.
No.
John is a dear, dear friend of mine.
He didn't even know what his kids' names were.
Well, yeah, because he has so many.
You called his kid Kane.
No, I thought he called his kid Kane.
You called his kid Kane. Like he wears a red and black mask and comes out to fire.
No, that's not what happened.
He's got a twin brother, The Undertaker.
We had a bizarre moment where you know, he said this will be Kane's first game, and I was like, oh, great.
Clearly, as a best friend, you would know these things. But anywho, that is the inaugural adventure of getting to know you.
What do we think?
You tell me.
I thought it was okay.
It felt like more like getting to know Dave, but I liked it.
Well, because you don't really want to play.
I don't understand how me saying I would be a coach is any different than you saying you were a professional gambler.
Because at least the professional gambler leads you to interesting conversation. I want to be a coach. It's bland and boring. Had you said astronaut, great. Had you said, you know what, I want to be a professional bingo player, great. But coach.
What if I said I would be a Navy SEAL?
Now that's different.
Yeah, but I have no Navy SEAL stories. I was never a Navy SEAL.
Yeah, but how good would that be?
That would be great.
And by the way, there's no way you could be a Navy SEAL.
Stop.
Stop, come on.
What do you mean, stop? I'm like, you see me in the water? I'm like a fish.
A fish, please. You could a Navy SEAL. Those people are tough.
Again, do you understand what's happening? I don't like the segment. I don't like it.
It's a great segment. I love it. Let's do it again. Let's do it again now. Re-rack it.
No, we can't do that.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.